If you have your Bibles with you, please open it to the Gospel of John. John chapter 15, we'll be reading verses 18 down to verse 27. John chapter 15, verses 18 down to verse 27. I'll read here, just follow me with your eyes. John 15. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in the law. They hated me without a cause. Verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. May God bless during his word. Let's pray. Our loving Father and merciful Lord, we praise you today and we thank you as always, dear Father, for giving us this life, being able to be used by you for your glory and for your honor. As we have this freedom of opening our Bibles, dear Father, and just gather in your name, may you bless this gathering. May the songs that we have just sang be a sweet smelling savor in you, dear Father, and just giving you all the praise, giving you all the honor, for you deserve it. And as we feast upon your word tonight, may you bless your word, use your servant, dear Father, just hide him behind your cross, that you will be seen, your words will be heard. And Father, we pray that we're not only hearers but doers of your word. And as this church would grow in the knowledge of you, many more people would come and know you through the fruits that you have shown in us, dear Father. And Father, we commit to you this time in Christ's name. Amen. This evening, since I'm from Voice of the Martyrs, we're going to be talking about what it means to have persecution. Because the whole New Testament talks more about it. And it is well recognized by those who work among persecuted Christians that there are few attempts that have been made to develop a biblical theology of persecution. I'm a graduate of Bible College. We haven't had a class or a subject that talks about persecution. Well, when you dig enough in the Bible, it talks more about that, and even Jesus himself talks about that. Most Christians in the West have little or no experience with regards to persecution. And in the quest to make biblical texts applicable to daily life, the tendency is for Western preachers and teachers to misapply these passages or situations to general physical, psychological, and spiritual suffering, because the biblical text that speaks for suffering or to suffering for righteousness' sake cannot be readily be applied to a setting where there is little or no persecution. West never even suspected that the biblical text that deals with pain and suffering might be dealing with suffering for righteousness' sake rather than suffering because of sin. These are two different things: suffering because of our own sin and suffering for righteousness' sake. we fail to recognize that persecution is normative for followers of Christ historically, missiologically, and most importantly, scripturally. Persecution is normative, meaning it is normal for a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can never escape persecution. There is a clear spiritual or scriptural link between persecution and even discipleship. The demand of Jesus on his followers is to tread the path of martyrdom. You know, we memorize the scripture, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But we miss the very important line which says, "And ye shall be my witnesses." The word witness comes from the word that means martyr. And when the first martyr of the church died, thus the word martyrdom. As Jesus demanded or commanded his followers to tread the path of martyrdom, he also prepared to send his disciples out as sheep among wolves. He told them that they would likely to die in the process of carrying out the ministry. Listen, in order to build his church, according to Matthew 16:18, his death was necessary, as he points out in Matthew 16:21. This is the foundation. Without Christ's death, there will be no redeemed community. Without his death, this gathering that we have is useless. It's worthless to come here in the afternoon where we should have all been resting in our homes, drinking coffee and eating biscuits or cookies. You know, but just as Christ's cross was needed to establish his church, our crosses are needed to build his church. Both are needed. Indeed, there can be no discipleship without persecution. To follow Christ is to join him in a cross-carrying journey of reconciling the world to the Father. Joseph Ton said these words: Christ's cross was for propitiation. Our cross is for propagation. Let me just repeat that. Christ's cross was for propitiation. That means, instead of us being there, the exchange happened. He bore all our sins unto him in exchange for that, for us to be saved. But our cross is to propagate what he did for all of us. To be called to follow Christ is to receive a call to suffer. I know these are heavy words. These are two heavy words. But mind you, believers, Jesus already warned us. When Jesus said, if any man would want to follow me, what's the first thing that you need to do, that we need to do? Let him deny himself. Is it easy to deny ourselves? I know it's not. It's not easy. Especially we wanted to live in a world where it would be Hakuna Matata. It means no worries. We don't want to worry. We want everything there. We want everything instant. We don't want problems. That's what we want. But Christianity is not about that. Christianity, first and foremost, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, is denying ourselves. And that is a very hard thing to do. You know, John chapter 13 down to 15 is Jesus' farewell discourse to the disciples, to the apostles. He started with chapter 13, where it speaks more about a radical humility. You know the story already. It started with the upper room when Jesus had the washing of the feet of the disciples, showing them the radical humility and service by washing their feet. And Jesus called them to love as he had loved, a radical kind of love. And Jesus then sought to build up the hope as the events and the days ahead of the disciples would leave them feeling as if their world is falling apart. So Jesus began sharing hope-giving promises after hope-giving promises and telling them that there is someone that is to come, and that is the Holy Spirit. And also Jesus spent them teaching and instructing them that he is the vine in chapter 15, and they are the branches, which we all understand. But if you come to verse 18 of the same chapter 15, it changed. If you look at your Bibles, it started to shift. And now, Jesus is shifting and talking about the cost of discipleship, because there is always a cost. Yes, it is hard to follow Jesus, but if we are committed disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will obey and follow him no matter the cost. Our Lord never promised that following him would be easier or safe, but he did promise to send help and strength when the world opposes his disciples. You know, the key for believers is to understand how they must respond to hatred and persecution when it comes. That's always the key. We need to understand how to respond to this hatred, because this will surely come. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, tonight, as we learn this passage of the scripture, being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is costly because it requires everything from our own life. Being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is costly because it requires everything from our own life. As Bonhoeffer would say, costly grace confronts us as a gracious call to follow Jesus. It comes as a word of forgiveness to the broken spirit and a contrite heart. It is costly because it compels a man to submit to the yoke of Christ and follow him. It is grace because Jesus says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." This evening, two qualities or two realities of being a disciple, as we come to an understanding what it means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because sometimes it's just easy to say, yes, I am a believer, but we haven't counted the cost of being a believer, being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's never easy. It's never easy. We don't need to sugarcoat being a Christian. I remember a pastor, he said, When he became a Christian, he said, "When I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, I raised my hand because someone said, 'Who among here wanted to go to heaven? Because in heaven there are more lollies, there are chocolates there.' And of course, as a kid, he wanted to go there. Who would not? So he said, 'I want to accept Jesus,' because he think accepting Jesus or being part or being a believer just means a happy life. But no, it's not. It's not. So this evening, let's just learn two actualities or two realities of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the title of the message tonight is Costly Grace. It's just Bonhoeffer just explained what costly grace is. Number one, the first reality of being a believer is this: the cost of following Jesus Christ. There are two things that can happen to a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, the world will hate us. Why do you think that the world will hate us according to chapter or verses 18 to 25? Because number one, they hate us because we are not of the world. Simply, the Bible says it, we are not of the world. It is impossible to be a people pleaser and a God pleaser at the same time. You could never mix the two. You could never just come alongside ordinary people just to appease them, just to please them. On the other hand, you're calling yourself a devoted Christian following the Lord Jesus Christ. It can never be mixed. Along the way, there will be compromise. It's either you follow the right way or the left way, whichever you want to follow. James 4:4 would tell us this: friendship of the world is enmity against God. Because everything in the world, according to the Bible, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it is always against God. And we always see that in the world. And that's how the world is described. You know, if you think that you resolve to please God and always do what is right towards others and always keep the golden rule, and then everyone will like you, let me tell you this. The person that personified the golden rule, the world hated him. The person himself. He just loved the world because he loved the world and never wanted them to experience the penalty of sin and also the wrath of God. But they hated him. They hated him so much. Not only the world will hate us because, number one, because we are not of the world, but because they only love their own. They love their own. You know, you and I were born selfish. In our prayer meeting, we discuss about Ephesians chapter 5, about we are children of light. And it is described in Ephesians 5 where Paul says, if you're children of light, then there will be results, or there will be fruits as children of light, that there would be righteousness, truth. Of course, we cannot develop righteousness on our own. Goodness is the number one that was mentioned by Apostle Paul. And goodness is a result, or it means to be good to others. And you know, it's not normal for us to be good to others. Because first and foremost, we tend to make sure that we do things first for ourselves, then later for others, right? We keep ourselves first safe than others. But you know what? The world only loves its own. Now, in the Roman government, before, when Apostle John wrote this, the follower of Jesus were looked down as disloyal citizens of the empire. Why? Because the Romans were only tolerant to religion if they just burn an incense and say, Caesar is Lord. But if you were a believer at that time, you would know who is the true Lord. And of course, if you would shout to the Roman government that Jesus is Lord, then you are a disloyal citizen of the Roman Empire. Of course, they would be hated. No wonder Philippians, if you go to the epistle of Philippians, Apostle Paul would always encourage the believers, rejoice, rejoice, because Philippi, as we understand, is a retirement place for Roman soldiers. If you read more about the history of Philippi, which was named after the father of Alexander the Great, Philip, you would know that that place has a lot of Roman soldiers. That's why Christians were persecuted in that area, because they know that Jesus is Lord, not Caesar. Plain and simple. You know, a Christian calls no one Lord except the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why the world will hate us. Second, not only the cause of following the Lord Jesus Christ is the world will hate us, but second, the world will also persecute us. That's clear in the Bible. When you go back to John 15, Jesus himself said those words that if the world hates you, you know that it hated me. It hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world, the world would love you. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world will hate you. Verse 20, remember the words that I said to you. A servant is no greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. Simple as that. Why does the world persecute us? Because number one, they persecuted us just like the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason the world opposes us is because it opposes the Lord Jesus Christ. And what was the reason Jesus is opposed? You read that in the next verse. Look at your Bibles, please. Verse 21. It says, but all these things they do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him, nor do not know him who sent me. The simple reason why they persecute Jesus was because they don't know God. They don't really have an idea of the truth of who Jesus is, even though Jesus already taught them, even though Jesus already showed them, even though Jesus already told them who he is. But that's the reason, one reason why they persecuted Jesus. Second, not only the world will persecute us just like the Lord Jesus Christ, but second, because we follow Jesus' example. If you are a true believer of the Lord Jesus Christ and a true follower of the Lord, of course we will do as Jesus commands in the scripture. And if we do as Jesus commands in the scripture, for sure, people all around us will persecute us just because we're following the God of this Bible. Just because. You know, we speak the truth about sin. We call people to repent of their sin and submit to the Creator and His Word. And we believe in a real place called hell and talk about it. So try to talk about that to a simple person. For sure, they would either stop you or do something to you or just go away from you. I haven't seen any street preachers around Sydney, but it was holiday. We went to Botanical Garden and then the art museum, and just across the art museum I saw this platform that says speak whatever you want. But there's a time from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. I don't know if you've noticed that. That's on the park. There's a platform there that says speak whatever you want. And I said, wow. So I wasn't able to take a photo of it. And I said, wow, there's still this side. So no, but I'm just wondering, why is that no one's standing there and speaking whatever they want? You know, in free countries, we can speak about what we want, but of course, they would always try to tell us, be careful not to offend people. But for believers, it's impossible not to offend people. It's really impossible. No matter how we sugarcoat it, no matter how we try to make it clean or beautiful, it will surely offend, especially when it points out sin. You know, we say there is only one God revealed in the book, that is in the Bible. We say there is only one way to heaven, by faith in Christ alone, apart from works. Then people would come after us and would tell us, you know, I'm good. I have done these things. I have not killed some people. I do not disrespect people. I'm doing my part of the society. I'm good. But no matter how good the person is, if that person does not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, for sure, is bound to hell. And that's reality. And if we tell that to other people, of course, expect retaliation. Expect them to go against you. Who are you to tell me where I'm going? You know, the suffering of the Christian is distinctive because it continues Christ's suffering. Our suffering is distinctive because it continues Jesus' suffering. The recollection of Golgotha is essential to understanding the church suffering. You know, even Apostle Paul did not regard his own suffering as redemptive. But he said about his suffering this, it is fellowship with the suffering of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 1:5, he said, for the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, he wishes to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of what? His suffering. Being made conformable unto his death. I don't know if you have prayed, Lord, let me suffer with you. Have you prayed that prayer? Do you want to pray that prayer? Of course not. Who wants to suffer? But then again, let me tell you a bad news. If this is a bad news, we're bound to suffer. Why? Because that's the way that we ought to go, especially when Apostle Paul told Timothy, those who want to live godly, will what? Suffer persecution. Plain and simple. If we want to live a godly life, if we want to please our God with our life, then for sure, persecution will come. There's no way we can duck it. There's no way we can hide from it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 to 10, Apostle Paul said, "We are troubled on every side, yet distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." What a fellowship of suffering. Believers, our life as Christians, or the suffering that we're experiencing right now, especially suffering for righteousness' sake, is distinctive because it continues the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the path that Jesus would want us to take. Second reality, not only that's the cost of following Jesus Christ, but the good thing about the Lord, one of the blessings and one of the greatest thing about the Lord, is that every time He gives a command, every time He gives a challenge, every time He tells us what to do, there's always a promise. There's always good things that comes after. Just like when He say, one of my life verse would tell, says in Psalms, "For the Lord our God is a sun and shield, and He gives grace and mercy. No good thing will He withhold from them if you would walk uprightly." Just walk uprightly. No good thing will God withhold from you. That's a clear promise from the Bible. And what God promised, or what Jesus promised to disciples, is this: yes, you will tread the path of suffering, but the Comforter will comfort you. The Comforter of following Jesus. And that is the Spirit of truth. Look at your Bibles, verse 26 and verse 27. This is what Jesus said: "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me, and you will also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." You know, we are to depend on the power and influence of the Holy Spirit, not in our pride or faulty worldly system, but to be a mature, faithful Christian. This morning we were at one church that spoke about the power of the Holy Spirit, where I agree with them that most of us do not understand what the role of the Spirit is in us. The Spirit was given to us by the time that we had a relationship and we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. According to the book of Ephesians, it is our seal, the day of redemption. That when the Lord Jesus comes, it is an evidence that we are believers, because we have been sealed, that we belong to the Lord. And the power is there with the Holy Spirit. But most of the time, that is an untapped power of every believer. We have the Holy Spirit with us. No wonder Apostle Paul would tell us that there is difference between the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and infilling of the Holy Spirit. Because we have already been indwelled, but the problem is we are not infilled. Why? Because we still follow our own, not follow the Holy Spirit, who is there to convict us, who is there to help us, who is there to give us wisdom, who is there to always help us in every situation that we are in. You know, the Comforter, where Jesus said, we are to be faithful and wise in Christ, He is from God the Father. That's the Comforter. The Holy Spirit has a prime role in our redemption. At this time, He was permanent, or He has a permanent power. Whereas before, of course, He came only when God would command. Now He comes from the Father to point Christ and gives us the ability to know and accept Christ. It is the Holy Spirit in the first epistle of John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, it says, it is the Spirit who testifies about Jesus Christ because the Spirit is the truth. And that's what Jesus Christ is mentioning here. In Acts chapter 5, verse 32, the apostle declared to the Sanhedrin, we are witnesses of these things concerning Christ. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. The writer of Hebrew also connects the Holy Spirit with the apostles' testimony of Christ in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. Plain and simple, the comforter of every believer is the Holy Spirit, whom is the truth and who is from God the Father. That's the Holy Spirit. Not only He comes from the Father, or He comes from God the Father, but also He testifies about the Lord Jesus Christ, a witness to God's truth, where we get the word forensic to show the evidence as a witness. The Holy Spirit always points to Christ and not to Himself. That's a wonderful thing about the role of the Holy Spirit. You know, I was speaking to one missionary. It was from Pakistan. I went with him to one church and had such time sharing and giving some testimonies of his life. He lived in Pakistan for a long time, and they wanted, you know, Pakistan is, if you combine all the Muslim countries in the whole world, you know, Pakistan is about 250, 260 million Muslims. And he was sharing this because they're part of the minority, because he's a Christian. One day, they created this union to put someone in the parliament that is a Christian, to represent the Christianity. He said at first they were so successful, but one day, I think it was in the 90s. One day, that representative was driving towards the president's house. He was a car just stepping on his way, and 75 bullets was shot in his body. And after the forensic had happened, 25 more is inside his body, and he was told, you know, you would be next because of what you stand in the parliament. And he had that fear in him, and he just came to the Lord and said, Lord, what will I do? Will I just hide and not speak and let the Christians just suffer? Or will I stand in parliament and be a voice of them? To make the long story short, he became a voice. He was part of parliament. Later, more threats in his life was given. He flew to England. Now he stays in the UK. And he now goes to country after country, learning about Islam and how to share to them Christ. And now has been a sought after speaker in showing them the truth, especially to from the Quran. So I said to that guy, you know, brother, I know it's not easy to live as a Christian, to live a life that is not conformed to this world, but rather conformed to what the Lord Jesus Christ has given you. And I told him, you know, this coming December, we'll be going to Pakistan and be with a doctor with a medical mission that he will do. And I asked him, so what do you advise to me when we go there? And he said, just don't go far from that doctor that doctor was also abducted by the Taliban for 25 days. So he knows the route. He knows whatever is there. So just be with him most of the time. And we'll be praying for you. And please pray for us as well. You know, the Holy Spirit, and that's what he also mentioned, because of the Holy Spirit that is in him, that prompted him to really stand for the Lord despite the things that he's going through, despite the things that he's facing. You know, despite a clear biblical emphasis of the witness of Jesus, much of today's evangelistic mythology or methodology focuses on meeting people's felt need rather than the Holy Spirit being there. You know, it downplays the essential biblical emphasis on the glory of the person and the work of the Savior and the crucial importance of confronting unbelievers with their sin and its consequence unless they are rescued by faith and the atoning accomplishment of Jesus Christ. That is why the preaching of Jesus in the cross is still the power of God unto salvation. And it is the Holy Spirit that will help us testify about the Lord Jesus Christ. Lastly, about the Holy Spirit, not only he comes from God the Father, not only he will testify about Jesus, but also he will help us testify about Jesus. He testifies about Jesus, and he will also help us in testifying about Jesus. Our role and responsibility is to know and make known who and what Christ is and to speak on his behalf by the words and by words and lifestyle. You know, we are all enabled to do this by the Holy Spirit. That is why there should be no excuse of us not telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have the Holy Spirit in us that would help us testify about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Christians today are not eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ as the apostles were, but they are called to point people to the truth about him revealed in the Bible. That is our role as believers. That is what we ought to do as believers in this time and age. We can also demonstrate the power of his resurrection through our life. You know, God has chosen his people as a means to reach the elect among the lost. The blessed truth is that whomever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, according to Romans 10:13. But that can only happen when believers proclaim to them the saving truth of the gospel. That can only happen if we step on it and preach the gospel. Of course, nothing is impossible with God. He's all-powerful. He can, with just one click, he can make everybody be saved. But again, people chose to be in sin, and people chose not to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord chose us to be that person, to tell them the truth, to be a herald to them that there is one way, one truth, and one life, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, no wonder Apostle Paul follows the Lord's example in his catalog of suffering by attributing his endurance to the Holy Spirit, according to 2 Corinthians 6:6. In Philippians 1:19, he said, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." And he reminds the Thessalonians that ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. We could always see the role of the Holy Spirit every time the apostle mentions the working of the Lord in his life. As I close tonight, you know, John chapter 16, verse 1 captures Jesus' goal. Can you open your Bibles and let's read chapter 16, verse 1? Ready? Begin. These things I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. Why did Jesus tell his disciples this? Because he understands the difficulty that difficult things are going to become for the disciples. He understands the path that each disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ must tread. Not only they are going to be witnesses to the heartbreaking reality of Jesus being unjustly arrested, beaten, murdered, that the same persecution that followed Jesus was going to follow after them. They were going to live under similar pressure and pain. Jesus understands all these things, so he wants to prepare the disciples. And it was this understanding that sacrifice, suffering, shame, and even death were normal cause of discipleship that fueled evangelistic effort of the first century church. That was the normal understanding, a normal cost of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not expect to experience all the blessing of heaven in this world, but they knew that by their faithfulness, even unto death, they were storing up rewards in heaven. Let me remind us again, Christ's cross was for propitiation. Our cross is for propagation. To be called to follow Christ is to receive a call to suffer. The last challenge and the last question for tonight: are you a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? You're the only ones that can answer that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ to die in our stead. It should have been us there, dear Father, because we are the ones who sinned. But we thank you for your great love, the sacrifice of your only begotten Son, and that through him, whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. We know he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to you except through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, dear Father, that truth came to us, confronted us about our sin, led us to repentance, and led us to faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our prayer, dear Lord, is that as a church, we will stand on those truths. We will stand on those realities that as we step out to this world, they would not see us, but they would see Jesus in us. They would see the living proof that we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive us, Father, for the times that we have not shown, that we have hidden ourselves. Though you called us to be light of this world, but we have tried to cover that light. But Lord, convict us through your word and release us from ourselves, that we will continue to stand up, continue to proclaim, continue to be heralds of your truth, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be seen and be heard everywhere. So Father, just bless this truth in our hearts. In Christ's name, amen.